Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My beloved, today we have a major feast day, one of the 12, which is the elevation of the cross. And we'll give you a little background on how it happened and why the holiday was. It was actually, the story starts from Constantine the Great. Later on, after he's become honored by the calling equal to the apostles, he was an emperor chosen by chosen by his army. My beloved, he heard the terrible atrocities that were happening in Rome by the leader over there, how he was persecuting the Christians, and not only persecuting the Christians, but also doing terrible things to senators and their wives and so on. And he had written to him to try to tell him to change his lifestyle, because the people can't take it anymore like that. But the emperor didn't want to listen to Constantine, and what he did is he decided he's going to go at war against the future Saint Constantine. And of course he had a big giant army, and Constantine the emperor was he wasn't sure whether he could beat the big army. But he still decided to go. And then as he was close to getting to the battle, he saw in the sky symbol of a cross. And of course that scared him, because all the pagans at that time, they were afraid of the sign of a cross. They thought it was bad omen. And but then at night he saw the Lord. The Lord appeared to him, and he said to him that with this sign you will be able to win over your enemy. And you make a sign on everybody's shields, and you have a banner that will go in front, and you'll be able to conquer. And this is what happened. The emperor believed the Lord, and then he had made a banner with a cross, and he decorated it with gems and stones, and made a beautiful cross. And he ordered it that the cross will go ahead when they are approaching the enemy. And my beloved, and they won. They won, and as they won, of course, the faith then really gotten more deeper into Constantine. He wasn't baptized yet, but his mother was Christian, Orthodox Christian. And after he won the battle, he came in with a great victory, and his enemy was crossing, running away from him, was crossing on a bridge that he built himself over a river, and through God's power, the bridge totally collapsed, and he went down into the river and with all his soldiers, just like at the time of in Egypt, when the enemy of the Israelites were covered with water. And he came as a victor, and then he decided that he has to find the actual cross of the Lord. But he had been in wars, and he had shed some blood, and he felt quite unworthy to go and do that himself. So he had asked his mother, the Empress Yelena, for her to go to the Holy Land and uncover the cross of the Lord. And when she went there, and she tried to ask everybody, and no one would give her the information. And then one Jewish fellow, his name was Judah, he said that he knows what it is, but he will never tell it to her. And then she even had to resort to some little torture, but then they put him into a big hole in the ground, and he then decided that he's going to tell her. where the cross is. And the pagan emperors had what they have done. They have the spot where the Golgotha was and the cross was. They have built a pagan temple over it, a big giant pagan temple. And no one really knew about that the crosses are there. So she ordered the temple to be destroyed. And as they were taking off all the rubbles and so on, they started to feel a great fragrance coming from the ground. And they dug up and they found the crosses. They found three crosses, but they didn't know which one was belonged to the Lord. There were three crosses, and there were three four nails and the plaque, but they were separate. They weren't on the cross, so they couldn't identify the cross. And as the patriarch was over there, and they all of a sudden spotted a funeral procession. And the patriarch ordered that the crosses would be put on the dead man. And they put the first cross, and nothing happened. And they put the second cross, and nothing happened. But then when they put the third cross, then they found out it was the Lord's, because the man has been resurrected. So the word spread all around the Jerusalem and all the places, and everybody wanted to come and approach the cross and venerate it. And there were so many people that it was just not possible. So what the patriarch did, what he had then told his co-servers, that let's raise the cross high above our head so that everybody will be able to at least have a glimpse of the cross. And that's what they did, and that's what the day of the raising of the cross. And he raised the cross, and as the people saw the cross, they cried out, "Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy." And they were crying out with all their heart, because they heard that the miracle happened, and they truly believed that this is the cross that the Lord wants us to have to conquer our enemies. And not only the enemies of the flesh, but most of all the enemies of the spirits, the evil spirits. They are so much afraid, as we see from the lives of saints, of the sign of a cross when it's done in faith. And this is what we have to remember. We have to use the cross to push away the enemies so they won't be coming close to us. But the cross, it has to be done with faith. You have to cross yourself, and you have to remember the crucified Lord on it, and you have to do it with the great reverence. So if you don't, if you just do it out of a habit, it's only a mockery, because the enemy just laughs at that. The enemy is afraid of the cross when he sees that you have the faith, that you believe that the Lord was crucified voluntarily on it to give us the power of the cross to help us to grow spiritually. My beloved, we have to learn to utilize the cross to fight our enemies. And the enemy is not your neighbor. The enemy is not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not grandchildren, not no relatives. The enemy, your enemy, you have to recognize is the evil spirits. So the evil spirits want to keep you away from heaven. They don't want you to go to heaven, because they know that you are going to take their place, because they have left the Lord, they have turned on the Lord, and they then don't want anybody to go there. And they also know that as long as there is this earth is still living and functioning, there will be souls that the Lord will be taken to heaven to replace those who had fallen, the fallen angels. And they also know that while they still have this earth, they still have lots of fun, so-called. They're doing their evil deeds all over, and they have a certain joy in doing evil deeds. And they know that when the Lord will come for a second second coming, and the earth is going to be engulfed in the fire, then they will be able no longer to have contact with the people, and they will be separated. They will go into their hell that's prepared for them, and they were not going to be able to take any more people from the Lord. And we have to realize that. We have to be, absolutely, we have to believe in the life after death. And we have to believe that our Lord is God of mercy and God of love, that He wants everyone to be saved. And I mean everyone. And He wants every one of us. But He is not going to force us. We have to want it ourselves. And when He sees that we want to be saved, He is going to help us. And He is going to lead us and send His guardian angel and angels to help us to fight the enemy, so that the enemy won't trick us into living not according to the rules of the gospel, but living according to the wants of the flesh, and breaking God's laws all the time. My beloved, you and me, we have to become more serious about life after death. And we have to know also that the Lord has suffered so much on the cross. And then, and before that, before He even was crucified, how He was beaten all night. The soldiers had beaten Him, and they mocked Him, and they spat at Him, and they did all kinds of terrible things to Him. And all that He endured for me, for you. He endured it all for us, my beloved. This is the kind of love that He has. He doesn't want us to perish. So let's turn to Him. Let's turn to Him and recognize what He had done for us, and know that He loves us so much that He died for us. And He said that there's no greater love than when somebody is willing to die for the one that he loves. And that's what He did. He died for me. He died for you. And you and me, we have to love Him in return, and have to comply with those things that He has taught us that we should do. And He says that we have to fulfill His Father's law. And His Father's law is, of course, to love. To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And when we do that, then you find peace in your heart. And then you'll be free from irritations and angers and fits and all kinds of things. And then you'll be able to really look forward to going from this world into the eternal life, to be together, to see actually the Lord Himself and His mother and all the angels and all the saints and you saints and St. Constantine and Helen and all those saints, and they will be rejoicing forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.